We're back, Stripe Show Podcast. On a Tuesday, I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Hope you're off to a great start this week. Middle of May, and you know what that means with the new schedule. It's PGA Championship Week. One of the best moves I think a tournament has ever made, going from August to May, and the PGA Championship sitting front and center for the best players in the world to come together. PGA Tour, LIV Golf, they're all there in Valhalla, including our man, Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you brought that up, because whatever it was, about 10 years ago, and it took 3 or 4 years to get done, the move to May has been somewhat epic for this championship. It really has been a total paradigm shift, because if you look at, you go back to the first one, right? Tiger wins the Masters, and then the next one is Brooks at Bethpage. But the lead up to Bethpage for that, you know, transition, and there was a lot of question marks. Oh, should we interrupt the schedule? Should we move the Players Championship? And then we get Tiger at the Masters, and then all questions were silenced, right? And then they back, you know, the next year everything gets screwed up because of COVID. But then the next normal year, we get it back into May. We get Phil at 50 years old. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. And we've had just one after another, not only just great championships, but superb venues and just stellar fields and storylines coming into this thing.
Yeah, the courses seem to play a little more difficult too. You know, you can get the firm and fast perhaps in May. I still have no idea how Phil Mickelson won at Kiwa Island. I still, to this day, sit here and have absolutely no clue how Phil Mickelson won at that golf course, minus six. And then the next year, of course, 2022, Justin Thomas, Southern Hills, a golf course I've played. I absolutely love that place. Yeah. And that was, boy, that was something down the stretch with Mito Pereira, that great 18th hole. And we have another great 18th hole this week at Valhalla. And then Brooks, last year, his third PGA Tour, or third PGA Championship, Oak Hill, is where they were at. And now the buildup this year, of course, all the stuff off the course, PGA Tour, LIV, Jimmy Dunn now resigns, this whole players board.
Stop with all that stuff.
I'm not going into it. Like, it's all part of the drama here leading up, because look, these guys now only get together four times a year.
And well, wait a second.
What?
Brooks just won on his lead in. Rory's won Singapore. Twice. Rory's won twice in his lead-in, and Scotty's won four of the last five in the green jacket. What more storylines do you need? Let Jimmy Dunn go. Let it all go, okay. Travis.
I'm letting it go. I'm not bringing it up, right, Keith. I am not putting a downer on this. I am not going to do it, because right, I'm fired up. Let me just lead into the PGA here for a second.
All right.
You know, if I had to rank the four major championships when I was young, the U.S. Open was number one. And we know the U.S. Open lost its identity there for a while, right, through, I think, some of their leadership.
Sure.
But, you know, the U.S. Open, then it was, for me, Augusta, then the Open, then the PGA. Like, that's how I saw it. And I think the PGA was last for a lot of golf fans of the four major championships. And now, with the move to May, I think the PGA, over the last little stretch, has now jumped the U.S. Open for me, because they did lose their identity. They're back now, and I like where the USGA is going a little bit more so. But the Masters is always the Masters, and the Open's always the Open. And then so you kind of got these two. And I don't know. I give credit to the PGA. I do. I give them credit. And I think this move to May and everything that's transpired here, and like some of these storylines that you just talked about, they're just juicier. As we get together at Valhalla. Before we get to the course, you're on site, folks, which – we appreciate you being out there, Keith. And you were on site last week at the Wells Fargo, and Rory gets it done. You know, to no surprise, he was the favorite going in. He absolutely loves that place.
He did get it done.
He kind of played out. I think the only thing surprising is Rory won by five, and he had a 7-shot lead going in the last hole. I don't think anybody was surprised by Xander doing what he did on the weekend. That's kind of his MO, unfortunately, now. He runs up there, and then he just kind of gets caught in neutral, or he backs it up a little bit. But Rory just went roaring by. I mean, even if Xander played well, I'm not sure if he's got the firepower that we saw with Rory McIlroy. A focused Rory, I've always said, Keith, is must-watch TV. You know me for the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
A focused Rory McIlroy and a focused Dustin Johnson. Those are the two guys for me. If you got their attention and they're hitting on all cylinders, turn the TV on because it's must-watch.
Yeah, I would definitely I would put DJ first. But if you know, post Tiger, when DJ was on, I always felt like he was untouchable. He could boat race a field, and Rory's right there. I mean, they're 1A, 1B, or 1B, 1A, however you want to look at it. But those guys are appointment TV for sure.
Mm-hmm. 26 wins now for Rory, back to back. He won the tournament there in the Louisiana with his partner Shane Lowry. Then he goes over there to Carolina, gets another win. And now he comes rolling into here to a place that he knows very, very well because
he does.
It was the spot of his last major, right? Yeah, back in 2014.
Been 10 years.
Been 10 years. I remember I was sitting in Evansville, Indiana. I was teaching at Victoria National. I was sitting with my buddy in his basement. And I had to fly out later. And I just sat there and watching Rory and it's like, this kid is just unbelievable. And if somebody would have looked at me and said, look, this is going to be the next time they come back through here 10 years later, he hadn't won another major championship. I said, get out of here. You have no idea what you're talking about. Are you kidding me? That was his last major championship. And man, he put on an absolute, I mean, speaking of must watch TV, he put on an absolute clinic that week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it reminds me, if you go back to, forget the Mark Brooks one in 1996, but Tiger 2000, I mean, he obviously a generational talent, but what he did to this golf course and just taking things to another level, and then Rory even took it another level past that, and you got to remember, 2014, it was soft, the golf course, but the level with which he could hit the golf ball past people was just unbelievable, and I think it's going to take that level of pop again this time around. I think this place... It's just something about if you could go out there and be a Louisville slugger, right, then you just fit the mold. And it'll be interesting as we get through the betting board how you filter out somebody like maybe like a Morikawa. Like, can he compete against a Rory in a venue like this?
Yeah. And it's not Harding Park, right, where he won back in 2020.
It's not Harding Park.
No, this is a big boy course. Valhalla, Louisville, Texas, 7,600 yards, par 71. You got the three par fives. Listen to some of the intel here over the last couple days. Of course, you got the Zoysia fairways, bent grass greens, kind of smaller greens. I got some questions for you here. I mean, it's long, it's hilly. The rough looks pretty juicy. You're on site. A lot of rain, it seems like, over the last 12 hours. Speaking of that, Ren, it absolutely poured here in Florida last night. My goodness.
It absolutely poured here an hour ago, and it's continuing to rain. It's not like cats and dogs, but it has poured here off and on all morning.
What do you think? We get to Thursday.
Yeah.
Is this going to be pretty soft once again? And if it's soft, I mean, you gotta point there or towards Rory again, don't you?
Yes and no. Yes. They've gotten 2.5 inches of rain in May before we showed up this week. Yes. It's going to rain all week. That's for sure. It's going to rain off and on throughout all four rounds. And no, Scottie Scheffler is still the favorite. It does not, nothing, no arrow points towards
I knew that'd get
Rory just because it's
I getting, knew it would.
Come on. I mean, that's not even pushing my buttons yet, but like, that's like, I mean, you're just like throwing up soft lobs there, you know? This is like slow pitch softball right now. That thing,
hey,
I just
Scheffler,
yarded.
Scheffler just had a kid, man. Hey, kids do it to you.
Stop.
Look at this. I got some
gray. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
Yeah. I got a 9 and 8.
Are you still doing the Stripe show? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It didn't slow you down. It's not going to slow him down. This is his job. This is what he does. And I think if anything, if you want to get into the kid thing for a minute, I think that this is a great kind of like subplot. The fact that that guy didn't let anybody know until he showed up here is total gamesmanship. That reminds me of Tiger, like, all the way. Like, just like this total cloud and mystery. And he could sit there and say all he wants about, like, hey, you know, like, I have this private life and everything. And I respect that. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that, like, the idea that people didn't know if he was coming or if he wasn't coming and all the chatter on Twitter this weekend, guys are, you know, imagine how much hope he would have given to the field if he was like, if Meredith had the baby today, right? They would have been like, oh, or she didn't have it at all yet. And she'd be like, well, there's a good chance he could still leave. There's, you know, like, I got a chance.
Yeah, but he just had it. So it's like, now you have a child for the first time that you're responsible for. And so I remember that. I remember when I had our first kid, our son Banks. And man, I didn't sleep, just partly because I was stressed out that, like, gosh, that's my kid, you know, and that's the first kid that I'm now responsible for. So I was like kind of stressed out a little bit about it. But Scotty's a little more laid back maybe than I am. And yeah, maybe he got a little bit of sleep. I'm sure there's some helpful hands there in the house and whatnot. It's different, man. I mean, look, he's a human being. He's a human being. And I know he's the most dominant player in the game. I get it. But I'm just trying to find an angle that somebody else can win this damn championship other than Scotty Scheffler.
The only angle that anyone else has a chance is maybe that they don't play against Scotty every week. That's one angle I think of. And the other one is that of the four major championship venues, right? I mean, like, Piner's number two. We don't even need to do the show. It's like, right, you come on, Keith, who's going to win? Scotty, you go, yeah, I agree. And then we click off. I mean, it's,
yeah, agreed.
Because that's such a cerebral golf course, just like Augusta. He has such an advantage with all of his ball striking skill. The thing that still impresses me the most is the way that he works his way around, you know, the mannerism with which he works himself around a golf course is just so good. And this place, you can kind of shut off a little bit, right? You can just bombs away and then, you know, pick up the pieces at the end and see what happens. So I think that he's not as far from the field and separation of skill set as he would be at other major venue, you know. But like for this week, those are the only two choices that I see that anyone can do anything, because other than that, I just got to start thinking of different parlays that we could try to win something on Scotty.
All right, well, let's get into it. We'll get to the big three here in a second, but a little something we like to do in the show called First Look. Take it, Mr. Stewart.
Clicking the mouse on Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, man. There he is.
And there's any number of reasons. I have a plethora of them, right? But most of all, this is going to play so long. And he's actually longer than Rory. He's longer than Scotty. He's longer than Brooks. He's the longest guy in the field. And when it comes to the fact that this guy always seems to get in his way, he did the bulk up thing. He did this. He did that. He's done all these things. He overthinks situations. When he showed me the maturity when I was at Augusta last month, and he was able to finish sixth there, I said, this could be a changed individual. Because talent-wise, the guy's got the skills, right? And he's got something that nobody else has, which is that extra gear with the driver. And his scoring capability on a golf course, even if it was 8,000 yards long, is still better than anybody else out there, including Scotty, right? So for me, you look at comps like, I don't know, Muirfield Village Golf Club, and then who do you got? Who wins there? 2018? Bryson won there. You know, like it's just one of those things where I really feel like in 2000, Tiger was the longest player in the field. He won. In 2014, Rory was the longest player in the field by far. He won. In 2024, Bryson's the longest player in the field. I think he wins.
Yeah, we were, before we came on air, we always then share. Sometimes we share our first look. Sometimes we don't. But we did this time. And I know it's probably going to surprise it, but that was my first look too.
It makes sense.
It does. It just makes total sense as long as this place is going to play. And
yeah,
I give Bryson a lot of credit. I've been critical of him over the years for this and that. I mean, don't get me wrong. He still drives me nuts with some of his antics and some of his soapboxing that he does with Live Golf and this and that. But on the golf course, his play, I think he has shown great maturity. I think the connection with Dana Dahlquist has been a good one. I think what they've done there in controlling the irons has transpired. Now, his record with Liv, I think early in the year was a little bit better. At least his placements were in the top 10s.
Yeah.
Late, couple top 25s there about. But that T6 at Augusta, spoke volumes, because that place had given him fits. He looked more comfortable there, and the growth was noted. So, yeah, I mean, God, as long as he is improved iron play, we know he can putt. It's a good fit for Bryson DeChambeau. So, look, we're on point there. But this guy, look, I'm putting the Spaniard up there. I mean, Mr. John Rahm's been, he hasn't won yet on LIV. I had to go a close second with some odds, 16, 18 to 1, somewhere in there with John. I mean, that's pretty enticing considering someone who's won a couple major championships, won everything on the PGA Tour before he jumped to LIV. A lot of top tens, hasn't broken the seal yet. But, you know, John Rahm's coming in here. And look, we need someone that can dominate with the driver. Right. We need someone that can dominate with a driver. We know John can do that. Kind of under the radar, maybe, although he was on the press conference list. I just saw him up there on stage. You know, Rahm, 16, 17, 18 to 1. That's not bad, is it?
Oh, how about 20?
Yeah.
At 20, he came out Monday morning. He was 20. That's an auto click. I mean, you're talking about a guy that a year ago was the same as what Scottie Scheffler is now. He won four times. Right. He had a green jacket and he came into this event. He was 8 to 1. And now you can get him at 20 to 1. It's still the same guy. We're not talking about 10 years later. We're not talking about like ankle fusion or Will Zalatoris with a back fusion or something like this. This is still the same guy. And we can't ever measure how, I mean, only John Rahm knows how motivated it is after his defense performance at Augusta National. So I think John Rahm is very live this week. And of all the people that are up there that are chalky, I mean, he has that. That's got to be the best value odds on the board, you know. And if you want comp performances, I mean, this guy's got a ton of them. He's great at Muirfield Village, right? What's another comp for this place? How about I don't know, Belle Reve? It's got the same exact agronomy as we have here at Valhalla. You know, it's in the same region. If you go over there to St. Louis, right? You got bentgrass greens, you got zoysia grass fairways, right? Rahm was top five there when Brooks won in 2018 and Tiger was second. You know, Rahm can play zoysia grass. Is he good at Eastlake? Is he good at TPC Southwind? He's good at all of these golf courses, right? So everything is there for him. And if mentally he doesn't push himself too hard, I think he's going to be a big part of the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think if there's one guy that went to LIV that really misses the other side a little bit the competition of playing with these other guys and how that motivates him and this and that, it's John Rahm, no question. Now, as I look at the board, all right, there's a guy sitting above John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau right now and Ludvig Åberg. How in the hell is that possible? I mean, I know Ludvig's special. I get it. But you're telling me shorter odds with Ludvig over Rahm and DeChambeau? I don't agree with that at all. I mean, no, sure, Schauffele, I get it. Complete game. But you can't convince me to place a win ticket on Xander. But Ludvig? A little shorter than those two? Come on.
I mean, he had never played Augusta and he had never played in the major. He was runner up. If you just took that in a vacuum, the books have to protect themselves, Travis. In the end, it's about the odds.
Yeah.
Right? After what we saw at Augusta and the fact that Rahm hasn't won on LIV, that's why he's sliding, right? Travis, Jordan Spieth's 90 to 1. Okay. Wow. Right? Like, think about that. You've got Will Zalatoris in some books, it's like 60, 70 to 1. All the guy does is top 10 in majors, right? So, like, at the end of the day, like, if we're all really paying attention to the betting board and what's going on, Ludvig Åberg has a very legitimate chance to win a major championship this year because of the way he performed at Augusta National. Because he's got what, like, I don't know, it's like five straight top 10s or something like that. I mean, the guy, and he's been good on all types of golf courses because his skill set matches everywhere. I mean, go back to your models from last week. If you ran it on Monday while he was still on the field for Quail Hollow, he was number one in everything because Scotty wasn't there. It would be either him or Xander. They would have both been the perfect match for Quail Hollow, right? And, you know, he pulls out with the knee, which at the end of the day, for me, just looks like fatigue. You know, when this kid's in college, which he was a year ago, he's playing like seven events a semester. He played 24 tournaments from the time he left school until he withdrew. And a Ryder Cup. I mean, that's a lot of golf, right? And I know he's young, but like at some point, I love the maturity for him to say, hey, wait, pump the brakes. I really don't need this signature purse. I'm going to save myself. My knee hurts. Let's move on. Yeah. And we're going to go to Valhalla, and I'm going to be ready for that. I think that that's a bigger determining factor rather than there wasn't the issue was that he said, you know what? I'm going to rest myself. I'm not just going to be a young kid and plow through this injury. I'm going to take care of myself because I want to peak for the biggest events. And I just proved to myself that I could be competitive against the best golfer in the world and come in second. I mean, you got to remember, he lost to Scotty by 4, but the rest of the field was 3 behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. He's legit worth the teens.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, you know, look, his short game and putting hasn't been like, you know, spectacular. I give him, he's brilliant off the tee. His iron game is very, very good. Now the Masters, he did putt well. In and around that, it wasn't like, you know, It's not like we're looking at Ben Crenshaw filling it up with the putter and,
Ben Crenshaw.
Cam Smith around the greens. I mean, like I know Ludwig's special, but I just say pump the brakes a little bit when I start putting him above Jon Rahm, at this point in time. Now, real quick, top of the board, the big three, Scheffler, McIlroy, Koepka, you're saying Scheffler. I'm going to say he's the
man to beat.
Okay. Well, there's no doubt he's the man to beat, but look, he's, you know, there's some stress there with a new kid. And hey, you know, I sent a tweet out on Rory. I was like, look, the hell with the player advisory board. Why would you want to be on that right now? The hell with them. Focus on your wedge game with Butch and keep pushing the throttle down and be Rory McIlroy on the golf course. I don't want Rory McIlroy off the golf course. I want him on the golf course, glowing front and center. With what we saw on Sunday. That's Rory. That's what he's capable of. And don't worry about the rest of the BS that we're seeing off the course, because you know what? At the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter what you say anyway. Nobody's listening, right? They've got their board. They're going to make the decisions, and it is what it is. All right, enough on that. Let's go down now a little bit in the middle of the board. I'm going to let you drive. Morikawa, you can't play him here, can you? I mean, this isn't the place for Colin.
I mean, there's a varied bunch down there.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you got a really varied bunch. You've got a guy like Colin, who with smoke and mirrors has played great lately, but his iron game is the worst part of his game. Like, what alternative universe are we in where that happens?
Doesn't even make sense.
You've got Joaquin Niemann, right? He's down there in the middle of the board. You've got your Max Holmans, your Cam Smiths. You've got all these conversations down there. Patrick Cantlay's fallen off. You've got what's going on in the world with Victor Hovland. I mean, the middle of this board is really somewhat of a mess. You've got JT. I mean, if this was ever a great opportunity for JT at home in Louisville, right? Like just like
St. Xavier High School.
I mean, for the comeback and not even to say to win, but like to be competitive on Sunday and really kind of push the envelope this week. When you look at the middle of the board, you know, I have a tough time really attaching myself to anyone other than Wyndham or somebody like Cam Smith or Cam Young. I mean, those are the guys that at least I know are going to show up in this thing and perform at a very high level.
Can Cam Smith drive the ball well enough to win here? Now, I know when he won at the Players, I think he lost like 3.5 strokes off the tee, and it was absurd the rest of his game. But can he drive it well enough here off the tee? And let me ask you this. I'll pair it with a second question with Cam Smith. How much value are you putting into short game around the greens? How difficult is it going to be in and around these greens?
I'm putting a tremendous amount of value into putting. Of the four major categories, short game would be the last one. So I would go driving and off the tee first. I would go long iron play. I'd go putting. I'd go short game. But don't lose sight of the putting here. In 2014, 7 of the top 10 were in the top 12 for strokes game putting. Right? This is not a team no putt deal this week, right? You have to putt to play well here. Rory putted well here that week. You know, like you have to be good and opportunistic with the putter. You can make scores here, and it's small greens. So if you're hitting the green just to start with from long range, then chances are you have a legitimate birdie chance. So I'm putting a lot more weight than other people are on putting. And Cam Smith, the fairways were tighter last year at Oak Hill. Oak Hill was tougher last year than this golf course will be for the course of the week. And Cam Smith finished 9th. Okay. Yeah. He was just top 10 at Augusta, right? I mean, the guy he's unbelievable. And I think that, you know, he seems very motivated. He wants to win another major. he knows there's this window. It's not early in the season where we know he likes to fish. This guy has been warmed up. He's been playing well on LIV. You know, I mean, it's just, these are the facts around Cam Smith, and that's how you handicap him. But I think that that guy is extremely live this week, yeah, you know, and I'm having a really tough time, to be fully transparent, with the middle of this board. You know, when I love Bryson, but he's not really the middle here. You know, in this middle, there's a lot of hot names lately, like a Ben On, but it's Ben On winning the PGA. Is Hideki going to show up for 4 days, right? You know, last year I backed Tyrrell Hatton, and that was a disappointing first day, and then he came back and he played great the rest of the way. But at that point, the tournament was gone. Mm-hmm. Victor Hovland is lost. You know, you've got JT. It's, I don't know. I mean, I really think that you're going to get your winner from somewhere under 30, right? And everyone else that's below that, you've got to look for a super high ceiling on this person. And I wouldn't even really worry about the low floor. Like, I would just look for the super high ceiling.
You know, I think I agree with most of that. Cam Smith is the most intriguing to me as we get to the middle of the board. And
he is.
He really is. I think it's, if he drives the ball reasonably well, I think Cam Smith's a major problem this week. I really do.
Oh, I honestly couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more because, if Wyndham Clark could drive it for Cam Smith, they'd win every major.
What happened to Wyndham last week? I mean, that was pretty sour last week. What we saw, it was he just looked.
He was upbeat, like, and he maintained his body, you know, his body language all week and everything. Maybe he was just looking ahead, or maybe when you're the defending champion, which was, that was the first time he ever had to do that. It just jacked up his schedule, but something was definitely a little bit off, and it didn't seem like it was overall off with his ball striking per se. It just seemed like something more was off. So I'm not quite sure what that is.
Yeah, you go to some of the LIV results and Cam Smith, T2, T14, T2. You know, we're talking tied for second, two of his last three events. And it just seems focused, trending.
A really good iron player.
Yeah, really good iron player. And we know what he
best putter in the
field. We know he can fill it up with the flat stack. I just gave his his neighbor a lesson the other day too, by the way, in here.
Yeah. Can absolutely go nuclear with the putter. Like,
you mentioned Tyrrell Hatton. You mentioned Hatton. Yep. You know, Hatton has played very consistent, really, on LIV.
He has, just like he did on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, very consistent in golf.
And, like, you know, where's one of his great wins on the PGA Tour? Bay Hill. I mean, this is going to be a lot like Bay Hill. Mm-hmm. Long, rough, very difficult, long golf course. It'll just play a lot softer than Bay Hill tends to do in March. But, like, you know, it's there's a lot to like with Tyrrell Hatton. You know, if I had to choose between him and Smith, I'm going to take Smith.
Yeah,
but like,
sure.
But if somebody said, hey, in DFS or for a top 20 Tyrrell Hatton, if there's a reasonable number there, what would you do? And I would be like, well, I would feel good about it.
Yeah, boy, Smith looks dangerous to me. So I think the one guy we did brush over before we start getting into some really odds is Max Homa. And, you know, look, Homa. We'll forget, you know, hey, Homa, oh yeah, it's a major championship. And, you know, he kind of goes away. Well, he was, you know, we gave Ludwig a lot of credit finishing second. You know who finished third?
Was
Max. And
his second straight top 10 in a major. So, like, maybe he's
Wells Fargo last time we saw him. Off the tee has been a little bumpy. You know, off the tee has been a little bumpy. Iron game.
The putter's been great. The putter has basically made his season. But his ball striking, even to his own admission, because he was in the press room last week at Charlotte, he said, I still got some things to work on with my ball striking. Now, again, we're having a winner's conversation.
Yeah.
So the reason we're struggling this week versus last week is that everything has to be seen through the prism of, can you beat Scotty? Who can beat Scotty?
Yeah.
Right? And there's going to be this underlying theme as we go through all of this, is that at this point, I'm pretty much done with the PGA Tour when it comes to this. All the elite guys have taken their shot at them, and they've all lost, right? And I'm not trying to say that Steven Yeager is or isn't elite. You know, like, he snuck by him there. But, like, Wyndham, Xander, Jordan, JT, Rory, Ludwig, Everybody's trying to go to King of the Mountain, and he just keeps flicking them away, right? Yeah. Okay. My betting card is going to go pretty deep on Liv. And one of the reasons that I love Cam Smith and I love Bryson is because these guys don't go against him every day. And I very much love Brooks. We haven't talked about him yet, but I love Brooks this week. I could give you 100 reasons why.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest is that if he's in the same group with Scotty on Sunday, like, he's probably one of three guys in the field, like Rom being another and Bryson not even knowing Scotty's in the group with him, are like, those are like three guys I feel like that could, at least we don't know that they've already lost to him this year. They're right. Not dealing with that mental baggage.
Yep.
Right? Like, all three of those guys, like, Bryson really wasn't in the mix to win at the end, and the other two guys didn't show up at Augusta, right?
Yeah.
So they could easily just, they could write that off and say, well, I didn't show up. I didn't have my best.
Right.
But if I have my best, you know, like Xander last week, I was leading that tournament for a while, and then I got jacked up on Sunday. Like, boy, that would give me pause, right? And, you know, like, these guys.
Well, you want to know, because we've seen the level of play. You make some really good points here. Let's go with this, because I think Scotty, we know he's the most dominant player. We've seen guys run up, and they can't beat him. But what we saw from Rory last week, we know Rory can get to that level. We know Rory plays like that on the weekend. He can beat Scotty. We've seen that level of play. John Rahm, two-time major champion, dominant with the driver. We know John Rahm's not going to be scared playing that group and knows in his mind that he can play at the level that Scotty Scheffler, Brooks, same way. And so you go down and you're like trying to find an angle in some of these. And yes, Jordan Spieth, you know, was a version of himself in 17 and 18, but there's no way you can bet Jordan here from what you've seen. There's no way, even though Sungjae showed some signs finally last week at 70-1 that he's going to beat Scotty. Tony Finau, Sam Burns is great friends with Scheffler. I mean, even though Burns maybe kind of putting some pieces together, finally he can't beat Scotty. And so you go down and all right, 70-80-1. Dustin Johnson showed some signs in Singapore. Maybe DJ's maybe feeling the spark a little bit, putting some time in, and we know he can be dominant with the driver. We know he's must-watch TV when he's focused. We've seen it before with DJ, so why not? I've sprinkled DJ down there at 75.
So I see DJ on the board at 90 right now. But earlier I mentioned Liv Singapore.
90 where? 90 at... I don't see it. Oh, I do 90. See a 90. Yeah. So I do see it. Bet 365 at 75.
Yeah. So I brought up Liv Singapore earlier that Brooks won. And you were kind of like, right? That's the same.
Did I look like that when I said, eh? Is that how I said it?
No, but. No, I'm exaggerating, but you totally like shrugged it off. You were like, yeah, whatever, right? Like, here's the thing that I want you to pay attention to. All right, they played at a place called Sentosa Golf Club. Now you know that I handicap the ladies. The LPGA plays at the same facility. All right, so I know the agronomy of that golf course: bentgrass greens, zoysia grass fairways. In his last event before this PGA, Brooks did what? He just won there, right? Leading into his other PGA wins, Brooks has top fives. He's always showed great form when he's come into a major that he's going to contend and ultimately win. Brooks wins majors in pairs. One of the back-to-back U.S. Opens, back-to-back PGAs, and he's defending right now. Oak Hill is a great comp. Another great Zoysia Grass comp is TPC Southwind, right? Right there in the middle of the country, just like where we are here. You know, if you just start going through all these golf courses that have either Zoysia grass or not, like East Lake, another good comp, Zoysia grass fairways, right? Brooks plays well. How about Belle Reve, 2018, bentgrass greens, Zoysia grass fairways. He won there over Tiger Woods, right? Like, that's another PGA championship. Like, we really need to pay attention to when the golf course is wet and it's long and it has this type of agronomy. Brooks is a major, major factor. Oak Hill, Beth Page. I mean, there's just one after another, after another. And the skill set, it has not left him. And to his own admission, he was embarrassed. Like, that was just like pure fire coming out of his mouth when he said, like, he was embarrassed. And he went to his team and he said, I'm not playing like that anymore, right? And this is his Wanamaker. He's not giving it up. He knows what it takes to defend. So for all of those elements, I think he's the one guy that can stare down the tempest and handle the storm.
Okay, so you're big because you can't bet them all. I'm not letting you bet all the top three. So you got Scheffler, Rory, and Brooks, and you're saying that Brooks has the best chance to beat Scheffler.
Yeah, I'm not betting Scheffler at all. So, you know,
right.
if I do bet Scheffler, it'll be some mock parlay just to see how much I can get out of it. Because if he wins every other form of the parlay, right? Top American, top group, top five. I mean, you just keep adding on points and then maybe, you know, get a little compounding interest or something. But for me, you know, I like Bryson and Brooks at the top of the board. And after that, Cam, and then probably some longer shots that have huge upside. Yeah. You know, a DJ at 90 is very entertaining to me.
We're pretty aligned, really. Yeah, we're kind of aligned here, like in a lot of the live guys this week. No scar tissue there. Haven't been beat down by the number one player in the world. All right, so we finally get down to 100-1. I know everybody's been waiting for us to talk about Taylor Gooch. Does he have any chance?
He's not the guy I'm featuring at 100-1.
Okay.
No. And I'll be honest with you, other than where I see him on social media, I understand that he's played very, very well on LIV. And I'm just not sure that the level of those golf courses are all that great. And prior to that, when he was on the PGA Tour, he won one event, the RSM. And we're talking about a venue here that is an extreme test of length, accuracy, and scoring potential. And I'm just not putting him in the conversation, nor do I think that his ceiling currently at 100-1. So for me, down in that area, like if you came back to me with like a Jake Knapp or something, be like, well, yeah, I mean, like the length and the way he's been playing this year, like there's a chance for a very high ceiling there. I get that. But for me, the guy in that section, right, is the one, the only Mr. Sepp Straka. Okay. Like at 100-1, 110-1, wherever you can get him right around there. Right. Sepp is awesome on Zoysia grass. Right. He was runner up to Will Zalatoris at TPC Southwind. Last week at Quail, he was eighth. He was fifth at RBC, 16th at the Masters. He was runner up at the Open Championship last year. He's been playing better and better in big signature major championship events. He is big and strong off the tee, extremely accurate with his driver. He's a good long iron player. He just proved it last week at Quail Hollow, and he's got some nice touch. So quietly, I think that's the type of guy that has a tremendously high ceiling. And if you don't put him in the final group, like let's say on Sunday, he's three groups from the end and he just pulls off a miracle round for a Sepp Straka and shoots 65, there's a good chance he could win.
Yep.
Because he's not like in that super pressure filled spot of the last group. And he just plays steady all week. Like he's shown he can do for the last, 10 months.
And he's on a dang heater right now with Flatstick. I mean, he's discovered something here in the last three or four weeks with the putter. He has really played well, checks out well on bent grass. Like you said, Joyza, he does well. Yeah, I think that's a good look. I think in the longer odds, that's probably as low as I'm going to go. DJ and Sepp are certainly two guys that I could go because, you know, here's some other names that we're getting into now. Keith Mitchell, you start talking about the driver. He's obviously one of the best. Can he do enough with the rest?
Can he do enough with the putter?
Yeah. Can he do enough with the putter?
Cause he has a high ceiling.
Yeah, he does. And what do we got to get to here? We got to get to 9-10 under. I mean, is that kind of what we're thinking? So
I think 10 from walking around.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the thing. Like if you just need the putter to pop, are you going to bet Keith Mitchell at that number? Or are you going to bet Cam Young at his number?
Yeah.
Right. Like
I'm going to bet
Cam Young has five top tens in his last eight majors.
I'm going to bet Cam Young. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. You know, like, so it just gets tough. Like, because we're getting beat over the head with these signature fields every week. And then we get into these majors and then now we have an influx of even more great players from LIV. It's like, man, it's just really hard to see somebody like a Taylor Gooch, who's obviously very talented, to just climb up that leaderboard and not be hit by one of these bazookas. You know, like one of these thoroughbreds down here in Louisville just does it in the stretch run. He just gets him by a nose because, you know, on the last hole, Rory hits driver 6-iron into a par 5. And he's like, yep, oh, here we go. 2-putt birdie. Thank you. I'm done. Wanamaker's fine. You know, and like the other guy he's playing against, say it's whomever, you know, say it's Denny McCarthy or Ben Ahn or Alex Noren, or maybe those are too far off the reservation. Keith Mitchell, you know, like what's he going to do in that last hole? What's Joaquin Niemann, who doesn't have, you know, any finishes in majors inside the top 20? Like what are those people going to do when you have to, I know I said earlier, everyone has to be pushed through the lens that, like, can you beat Scotty? Yeah. But like, all right, let's say Scotty has a bad week. There's still like, let's roll out Rory. He's just won two in a row. Let's roll out Brooks. He's won. You know, like let's roll out an angry John Rahm. Let's roll out a generational talent in Ludwig Aubert. Let's, you know, like what if
Xander seems unlikely. Woke up? Seems, you know, like really unlikely. Yeah.
It just gets like the Tiger generation has officially grown up, and the guys between basically 20 and 35 are all like really, really good. And it's just the field is so, so deep. I have a tough time getting past.
DJ and Sepp, that's as far as I can go, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's as far as I can go down. And also you have the history of, okay, the last time we've seen the PGA Championship here, 2000, Tiger Woods won. 2014, Rory McIlroy won. So it's like this golf course is yielding some pretty large names. And
I mean, how about this? Since Tiger won in 2000, we've lost a stroke to par and we've gained 450 yards. Wow. Just like, you know what that means, right? Like if you're coaching someone to win this thing, you know exactly what that means. You know how much harder they've made this golf course for somebody who's just average in length, like Morikawa. I saw Morikawa last, like, so this is why, this is the argument against guys like Morikawa, unless they're super, super special, like a Denny McCarthy in and around the greens, right? It's just that, whether you miss the fairway here by 10 feet or 10 yards, there's no difference. There's just cabbage everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And Morikawa hitting out of that cabbage or Brooks hitting out of that cabbage 20 yards in front of him, who are you going to take over 72 holes? And if you're not paying attention to that as you prepare your betting card for this championship, then you're missing the point that we are just redundantly repeating over and over again, is that we are in Louisville. Go get yourself a couple of Louisville sluggers, and then have at it.
Well, even a top 20, trying to find some odds here in a way into that. Like you go to the last five PGA championships, just kind of a larger look. Strokes gained total. I mean, Brooks, number one, obviously, you got a couple wins in there. And number two is Justin Rose. I mean, you're going to bet Justin Rose in a top 20? Hell no. I mean, the guy's lost his game, for crying out loud. There's Rory at three, Scheffler at four. Lowry is actually five in total strokes gained over the last 5 years. Xander, you're going to bet Hovland? I don't know. I'm not. There's DJ Moore. I mean, these are – my point is, it's kind of the same names that, you know, even some of these longer odds, it's hard to kind of get to. Now, I could get to a Hatton. I think I could get to a Hatton in a top 20 with some odds. I certainly – you know, I mean, there's Patrick Reed. He's in the top 10
over the last 5 years.
Yeah, top 20. I could get to Reed. I could get to – I could get to Hatton. I could get to Will Zalatoris.
Reed's got three top 20s in his last four PGAs, and his worst finish is 34th in the last four. Mm-hmm. The guy just gets it done.
Yep.
And similarly with his short game, I like Denny McCarthy here for a top 20 this week. And I'll tell you why. Mirfield Village Golf Club, also designed by Jack Nicklaus, just like this joint, right? Okay. Similar type of skill set is needed. Big boy golf course. Last 2 years there, Denny McCarthy, fifth and second place. So there's something about Jack Nicklaus designs that suit his eye, and he's able to score, so he hangs around. So there's a guy right there that's probably three or four, probably 3.5, 4 to 1 for a top 20. If you want to go, you know, I mean, he was top six last week. The guy's been playing really good. He was second at Valero. You know, like Denny McCarthy has no business at his length and the way he, you know, his level of ball striking ability, you know, around Quail Hollow to come in sixth in that field, in a signature field. But guess what? He did, because he's the best scrambler and putter on the PGA Tour. And that is one of the eternal equalizers. So is he going to win? No. But if you want to look for value on the board, those are the guys like Cam Smith is always going to be a nuisance.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's an excellent iron player. He does spray it off the tee, but he's not short by any imagination. And every time he misses a fairway, he's going to get up and down and make par. And he's going to, like, just beat you down with all of that, like the word nuisance, right? But then when you get him in the fairway, he's a good iron player. He's an elite iron player. He's going to make birdie. And if the winning score is 10 under, I could see him shooting 8 to 10 on this golf course.
Denny? Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Denny's yeah. I think Denny's I get to Denny top
20.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
what do you expect? Let me finish. Let's finish with this.
Okay.
What do you expect from Tiger and Phil this week?
I don't expect much from Phil, and it's Kentucky Hills. This is going to be actually a tougher walk.
Feels like it.
Yeah, this is more like an EKG. It's more like this, you know, whereas like, you know, Augusta's like calculus. You know, it's like measure the area under this slope. It's like a straight line, kind of like this. You know, you walk down 10, you walk up 18, you know. There's a lot of hills here. There's a lot of like pushed up tee boxes and green complexes and everything. I think that Tiger makes the cut because he's always been that talented and he is the GOAT. But I think until he proves to me that he can go four rounds walking on a difficult terrain like this, I mean, you climb in elevation like 374 feet over the course of 5.3 miles. Like, that's pretty hard. Then it's going to be wet. It's not going to be super cold, but it's wet and damp, which doesn't work well for his back. So I think this, the longevity of it all is very difficult, but I think he makes the cut.
Last question. Goddard won last week, opposite yeah. field event. We know he can bomb it. You think he can make the cut this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think guys like him and Dean Burmeister and a couple other guys that are like super bombers that are in really good form right now, they should definitely populate your top 40s, you know, your 5, 6K, 7K range. There on a DFS, you know, it's the same thing with Sepp. You know, he's down there in 7,500 in DFS. No one's talking about this guy. He's 110 to one, but he has one PGA Tour career win. Where? PGA National. Who designed that? Jack Nicklaus. You know, like, just look for the things that make sense. That's use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. There's nothing about this place that's tricky. It's long, number one. And it's set up like a major championship, which means it's difficult, number two. Conquer those two, you're going to be in the part of the conversation on Sunday with Scotty.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you have it. Good stuff. We're pretty aligned this week. It seems like we're either like all in or completely thinking about it separately. I think this week, you know, just right out of the get-go before we came on in our conversation about Bryson and LIV Golf and this and that, I think we're pretty aligned as we go back to the conversation, finishing it up about winning this thing and who can beat Scotty, who hasn't been beat down by Scotty yet to this point, over the last year or two, that level of play that we've seen from a player that, I recognize that and that can beat Scotty. I think we're thinking very much the same way. And I think it's going to be a pretty good week for some from LIV Golf guys, because there's some guys that they got the length off the tee. Ooh. And if they don't have it, they have some of the other skill sets, and particularly Cam Smith, which I think's the most intriguing guy on the entire board.
For me. 45 to one
yeah.
on a guy that is just will hang around.
Oh.
And then come Sunday, guy makes 150 feet in putts and you're like, what just happened?
Yep.
Right. And he's drinking a shoey in front of the whole crowd and pouring it into Wanamaker, you know, whatever he's doing. I mean, come on. Yeah. Let's have fun.
Keith Stewart at Read the Line from Valhalla. You're the man. I know you're busy. Enjoy the PGA Championship. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back.
Two quick things.
Do it.
Right. Thanks for plugging Read the Line. But, look at that. Oh, how do I keep doing that?
This guy.
Right.
I mean, fireworks last week. Now he's got balloons going off.
I don't even know. I just put my hands up and stuff happens. So, Golf Digest, I did the player rankings. Everybody go take a look at those. It's, you know, every player in the field is ranked 6,000 words. It's a really great reference tool as you're going through all of this betting stuff. It was written by a bettor, you know, so you've got data golf rankings in there. You've got trends to follow. You've got past history in the PGA Championship. So take a look at that. And the second thing is that the PGA of America did something really fun for the fans this week. And whether you're like a diehard DraftKings DFS person or you just want to add a little fun to the week, and maybe you don't bet, but you love this show and you love the Stripe show every other week because you learn so much about the golf swing and how to get better. They have a little fantasy game that's in the app, right? And I've been plugging this thing because I think it's a good bridge. It's good connective tissue for someone who maybe doesn't spend too much time betting, but you could pick a couple golfers and you could follow them for the week. And I think that that makes it a lot more fun. There'll be a little more of an emotional connection there for you. And I think that's kind of cool. So go play the fantasy game at pgachampionship.com and read the player rankings. And Travis, thank you always for having me on.
All right. There you have it. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Thank you, everybody. Have a great PGA Championship. Let's make some money. Nice.